Hello, everyone. Welcome to week 7 of Australian Survivor. Know It Oz. I am your host, Nick Idanza, and I have a special return guest here for you all today. It is the incomparable, the awesome, the one of the best players of Australian Survivor Season 1, Nick Idanza. Yes! No. It's Phoebe Timmons. Phoebe, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Nick. I was actually like thinking to myself as you were speaking, I need to come on this podcast more often just for that intro, but I don't feel that way anymore.
Yes, good. I've crushed your soul and it's been 40 seconds. So I think that's a new record.
I agree, and I'm actually a bit upset. I just told you how depressing my life is. I just had Raisin Toast without butter for dinner, and you didn't even give me the little ego boost that would have been really necessary at that moment.
Kicking people when they're down is pretty much my calling card. So I hope you're ready because there's going to be plenty of it on this podcast. Phoebe, thanks so much for coming back. You are now officially my second person who has been on the podcast more than once. Evan beat you to it. Sorry, Phoebe.
Oh, ever.
But
what the hell?
We had a great time. You were officially my first ever podcast guest way back for the premiere of Survivor New Zealand. So that was a long time ago. It seems like only yesterday, though. So thank you so much for coming back. The fans absolutely loved hearing from you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat Survivor with you, Survivor Australia. It's going to be good.
Excellent. Well, before we get to that, just want to let everyone know that my exit interview with Odette this week had to be cancelled at the last minute because of some technical difficulties. We're looking to get that back up in the happening in the next couple of days. So stay tuned. I'll let you know on Twitter when that pops up. But keen to talk to Odette to hear about everything that's happened with her. But there's plenty of other stuff to talk about, Phoebe, and that's what we're here to do. So before we get to the specifics, Phoebe, talk to me. Are you enjoying Australian Survivor?
I am absolutely loving Australian Survivor this year. It is awesome. Honestly, from the characters to the gameplay, I'm just in awe. Every week is awesome. Look, there are a couple of things here and there that I'm not a fan of. Like, it's no secret I don't like non-elimination episodes, but accepting that, I've loved all of it. How about you?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I start every recap episode asking my guests that question, and the answer has undoubtedly been, it's better than last year. That's well documented. Yeah. It's been so good. And Phoebe, I know that you have been getting, tweets and comments and people saying, you would have been great on this season and stuff like that. Do you have those moments where you're like, wow, I wish I was playing the second time?
The
second time for number two, as in like instead of playing last year, playing this year in this group of people.
I really don't think like that. I'm sure I'm imagining you don't either. I mean, our experience was so special. I loved being part of the first season. I loved my experience. So, I don't think like that. And I don't even watch on thinking, oh, I wish I was there. In fact, quite the opposite. I think I'm so glad I'm here watching and just get to be a fan and a spectator. That's how I feel. How about you?
There was one moment this week where I was like, oh, wow, that would be cool to be out there. And I was like, oh, that's actually the first time I felt that this season. So, it's so fun to watch not knowing what happens. I've never been someone who watches Survivor for the challenges, but it's funny that now that I've played Survivor, that's the only part that I'm really like, oh, I'd love to be doing that. But that's really, that's really it. And that's so weird to even think. But maybe that's just, that speaks so highly of the caliber of the challenges this season.
Well, actually, if there was one thing that I'm like, oh, I wish that was sort of the season I was part of, it would be in respect of the challenges because they are really good and they're really diverse. There's a lot of variety in them. I like that they don't all finish with a puzzle.
I don't.
If we could like take last year's challenges and put them, this year's challenges and put them into last season, that it would have been. that may have been beneficial.
Well, Phoebe, we've got so much to talk about.
But wait, what was the moment for you where you were like, oh, there's one moment where where it was the first moment where you said, yeah, I wish I was.
This makes for really, really bad podcasting, but I actually can't remember what it was.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I remember it being something, and I'm just thinking, wow, that would be exciting to do. But one thing I definitely don't feel is when you see that post immunity challenge scramble before tribal council, I get such anxiety. freak out. Just like I know that feeling, and I close my eyes, just like I don't want to look because I just know how awkward the gathering firewood moment is.
Yeah, let's gather firewood. Yeah. No one's gathering any firewood.
Phoebe,
especially the people that never gather firewood on any other occasion. It's like, no, you're not getting firewood. Yeah. That was me.
Phoebe, before we get into the actual stuff, because there was a lot of big stuff that happened this episode, you know, it's been a while since we've spoken, but since we last spoke, you've actually been to America. And you had a chance to go hang out with a bunch of survivors. Give us the quick whip around. What was it? Hearts of Reality.
Yeah, Hearts of Reality. It was.
Give us the quick
so
whip around. How good was it? You know, who did you meet? What did you love about it?
Oh, it was awesome. I really, really loved it. I had such a good time over there. I mean, it's like you forget you're just a fan as well. So to be actually part of it and be involved in the community and to be able to participate in a way that you're one of the group, it's a dream. So I feel very lucky and very privileged to have had the experience, certainly. And in terms of what was good about it, I mean, obviously it's an amazing cause. You're raising money for kids with terminal illnesses, which is very close to my heart. I'm sure people are aware that my family went through some hard stuff last year and we had a close call with my nephew. He's fortunately okay now, but
good.
The point is that it was something that definitely, I feel it resonated with me very strongly. And we did have, obviously we did have a lot of events and stuff where you're raising money and, you're interacting with fans for the cause, but also there were, occasions where we interacted with the kids as well as their families. So, it was a beautiful experience, but obviously it was also, it's a tough thing to do as well.
Definitely.
But in terms of like the fun stuff, I met so many cool people, lots of obviously American survivors.
Give us your top three. Who are the people that you were most excited to meet?
Oh, man, I loved meeting everyone.
Oh,
don't make me choose.
Come on, you have to choose.
I mean, like when you're sitting there at the bar and I have some of my favorites. Like, for example, Brett is a really good friend of mine who I just love and adore. Adam's a good friend. Like, I went to some of the theme parks before the event with Adam and Jay, and Jay and I just, our personalities were ridiculous together. So we were laughing hysterically the whole time. So that was really fun. But then you're in a bar and I'm sitting there talking to Johnny Fairplay. Like, what is life?
Yeah.
I'm walking along just having a chat with Sandra about her day. Like what?
That's the best bit for me. When you show me the photo of meeting Sandra, I'm just very happy for you. And give us one name. Who was someone that you were surprised was really great to hang out with from the American Survivor crew?
Do you know who I love? Oh, well, I mean, everybody, but I really loved two. Can I give you two?
Sure.
I'm sure this is a common response, but I adore Ty. I just love him. He's just awesome. So, so gorgeous. And the one I also love, so many, how do I pick? I love Troy Zan.
Well,
so
there you go.
Troy Zan is an absolute legend, a huge fan. Also Chris Hammonds. I love him as well. I can't pick.
Yeah, well.
I loved everybody.
Oh, how diplomatic. Well, do you know what? I think we've lost a few listeners, so we're going to get to Australian Survivor now. So.
Sorry, guys.
Let's dive straight in because it was a big week and we had a lot happen. I guess the biggest story here is, yes, we lost Odette in episode 15, but in episode 14, we have this kind of this non-elimination episode. And we've been on the record as having chatted about non-elimination episodes before, about how they are just something that are part of Australian Survivor. But in this instance, the Asunga tribe was offered the chance for someone to mutiny. And in that instance, we saw Pete take the mutiny and go over to Summertown. Now, what did you think about, first of all, the twist as a non-elimination mechanism? We know they have to be there. How did you feel about that one?
I like it more than other non-elimination episode twists. However, there's a few things I feel. I mean, firstly, I feel we've had quite a few swaps back and forth already, and they've been relatively close together. And I think it's interesting how they time these things. What, I mean, hasn't there been a non-elimination episode almost several weeks in a row, basically?
Yes, something like that, but not always with a swap. But yeah, there was the week in between where there was the Ziggy finding the idol as a non-elimination episode.
Right. Okay. So I mean, I hate that idol. So that's I hate it. So there's been a few that have been a little bit dissatisfying for me, but this one I still don't like it. But at least it's not a matter of. I don't know.
Well, let's talk it through, because the twist was initially pitched.
The problem is the tricking your players.
Yes.
And having the whole tribal council, and then not voting anybody out. Because even though it's okay that he swapped tribes, that part of the twist I'm fine with. I don't like that they've tricked their players. All the dirty laundry comes out, and then and also on this occasion in front of the other tribe as well. And then nobody goes home. There are consequences to having that happen.
Yeah, you're someone. What do you think? Yeah, you are someone who is definitely burnt by this, and we'll get to that in a second. But the whole thing about airing dirty laundry, I do have to defend the twist in the fact that it's up to the players whether the laundry gets aired. And in your instance, it wasn't. And we'll get to that in just in 1 second. But you know, the Asanga tribe was, and Odette said, she goes, "You're just saying everything in front of everyone," and they were. They were like loose lips saying, you know, every single thing about their tribe. And that's their call. They made that decision. I'm sure Jonathan prompts it, but they did that. They could have done it more cloak and dagger if they wanted to. You could see Lockie and that on the jury bench, just like eating that up, like loving that they were serving it to them. So let's talk about the fact that, you know, it's very similar time. Are we at the exact same point? How many days did you last year, Phoebe?
Not many. No, I'm just kidding. Not enough. I was there 31.
Okay. So we are in, you know, around 30. That was episode 14 was around day 31 as well, I'm pretty sure. So it's the exact same time.
I think it started. It opened with a confessional from Sarah talking about 31 days.
Okay. So it's very similar to the time that you went. And just before you went home, we had this twist last season where Brooke was able to kidnap someone. She kidnaps Sue. Christy doesn't go home. The next week, you go home. Next night.
Thanks for reminding.
No. I remind you.
It's too soon.
Because it seems so interesting that they did pretty much the exact same twist at the exact same point in the game 1 year later. Like, I feel like there should have been no surprise to the players that there was people on the bench watching. It just so happened that this time, they didn't get to choose. Someone from the tribe got to choose. So I know you have to play as if you are going to vote someone off, but it seems odd that they just recycled the same twist.
Well, I think that it's a very different twist, because if in our season there was an opportunity to mutiny, I can assure you a certain person on this podcast would have been making that decision very quickly.
No, that's a good call. That's a good call.
Different twist. And also, I guess, I think they would have known. I mean, I know these things are planned ahead of time, but I think it's obvious before the tribal council even begins that it's most certainly in Pete's best interest to mutiny if he's given the option.
Yes.
So it's no surprise that he did it. It was 100% the right decision. There was nothing there for him to. There would have just been no reason for him to stay there. In my view.
But who do you think? Don't you think there was more than just Pete that should have mutinied? Like, I think there was quite a few people on that tribe that would have been like, do you know what? I'm taking the chance. Like, we saw Ben very easily put his hand up, and Henry earlier on in the season. I think that Pete should have done it. I think that it was in Sarah's interest to do it. I think Tara had a
serious.
Tara had a bit of a, you know, she could have given it a go. Maybe, you know, the only people I probably would say shouldn't have was Luke and Jericho. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things as well. It's I don't know. How do you got to think? You don't have a lot of time to think through these decisions as well. So, and you don't know that that is an option that's going to be presented to you. I mean, no one can reasonably expect that at the end of a tribal council, you're going to get the option to potentially go to the other tribe.
Yeah.
So you've got to be really quick thinking, and you've got to try and evaluate it all so quickly. And I don't know. I mean, Sarah would have more information than others because she was on that reward. So she would be able to assess whether or not that's a good decision more so than the others. However, yeah, I mean, you swap yourself onto the bottom of a tribe, into the unknown. But at the same time, knowing that a merge is imminent, maybe you just do it anyway and give yourself a head start on the building of relationships.
Yes.
It's coming anyway. You're about to join, you're going to end up merging with all of these people anyway. So maybe you could make a case that it's in everyone's interest to some extent, and also they're a stronger challenged team.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You know, you're one episode away pretty much from the merge. That we merged at 13 last year anyway. So, you know, you essentially could be the next day.
We merged early, but yeah.
We did, but, you know, they might not know that. They just know the number. So, you know, why not swap yourself into the bigger tribe with better competitors? I just think it's too similar to last year in the fact that a small tribe got smaller and a big tribe got bigger for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's the problem with the long season as well, is that if it turns out that one tribe is more dominant and stronger, and then you have these sorts of twists, it's going to keep unfolding in the same manner. You know, that's well evident.
What do you think would have happened? This question came up a lot, and this was the first thing that I was thinking, is that was such a good tribal. They came in, there were six of them. Six is always an interesting vote. There was they all came guns blazing. What do you think would have happened had there not been the twist? So just to kind of reset.
I want to know.
And we never will know. We never will know. I can ask Odette in a couple of days and we can speak to the players once the season's finished, but we will never really know what would have happened in that exact moment. But because it was so...
I feel so deprived.
Yeah.
I'm so deprived. The whole audience is deprived of that vote.
It was a good one. It was a good one. They went in there and I've got to say, Sarah played such a good couple of episodes because it seemed like things weren't going her way, but like she went in there and she said, I'm not budging. And I know that David Blueberg's, one of his rules is you got to be flexible on Survivor. And I agree. But what I think she was, why do you think she was being so gung ho about saying, no, I'm not budging. I'm with the people I said I was going to be with and we're going to do it.
I imagine for a few reasons, and I'll be definitely interested to hear your thoughts and whether you agree. I mean, I think it's too risky for her to try and compromise, because if she does, it could be that she's potentially blindsided and her instincts are telling her she needs to remain fixed in her own approach. And also, I think if she does cave to her will, to the will of Luke again, then she potentially loses any flexibility or room to move on the next vote and becomes so I think she's kind of recognized the position she's in at that point in time and realized, no, I actually need to stand my ground here. This is the only way forward.
And I think I agree with you. And I think that's why I respect her so much as a player, because, you know, a safe player would go, do you know what? The merge is around the corner. I'm just going to play it really, really easy and get to the merge, you know, pray for merge kind of thing, which is, you know, safe, but it's not good gameplay in the long run. And she's playing to win. Like, Sarah is playing to win.
Absolutely.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. What about this theory, Phoebe? I want to run this past you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So her, Tara, and Pete go in with one, saying they're going to vote for one person, and then Luke, Jericho and Odette on the other. Seemingly, this is the story we're being told, and it may not be that way. Do you think that she was anticipating some sort of rock scenario and wanted the three people that she was with to stick tight, and for the other psych out the other group, saying, "Do you know what? They're not budging. I'm going to flip to their side because they don't seem as wishy-washy." What are your thoughts?
Well, I guess that if it plays out that way, I'm assuming it's Luke and Sarah that become safe. Is that is it Pete? Because Pete, the other name that was out there was Pete.
Yeah, so right? I think that what was happening was that Odette was saying, let's go for the easy vote. So I feel like they would have probably been voting for Pete and the other side would have been voting for Luke. So in that situation, if that is the case, it would have been a 3-3 tie for Pete and Luke. Then on the revote, say it happens again and they go to Rox, you know, maybe, you know, Sarah's trying to say, hey, if it goes to Rox, like maybe, you know, I need you guys to kind of realize that you don't want to go to Rox. I'm not going to flip to my side. And then she can get Odette that way.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Unless, so could there have been a scenario alternatively to that where Sarah receives 3 votes as well and she then inadvertently kind of makes herself safe because of the same scenario?
Very much so.
As in Luke voting for Sarah, Odette voting for Sarah, and who else he wanted Tara to vote for Sarah.
Sure.
He didn't tell Jericho, though. That's an interesting conversation.
Yeah,
I'm sure you want to talk about that.
Yeah, the Rock thing is fun to speculate, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So if say, for example, he did persuade Tara, although she was definitely, it's seemingly not taken by that towards the end of the episode, but at first she was on board. So say he had in his mind Tara, himself and Odette voting for Sarah, there's 3 votes that way, and then Jericho votes for Peter, and then Sarah and who else does she have? Peter votes for Luke.
Yeah, it's tricky. I'm confused, to be honest.
I don't know. Sorry, I'm just like speaking out loud. Rambling.
No,
I don't know.
I think this speaks to how tricky it is in that moment. You're trying to run the numbers. You're trying to predict, well, what happens if this person flips? What happens if that person flips? And I think that
exactly.
what's so great about Sarah is that she is, and I've said this before, she's unflappable, I think. And I think she was solid as a rock and she wasn't going to budge. And that can be really alluring in a situation where, you know, you and I with a full belly and none of our life on the line, we can't figure out the numbers. And, you know, she's sitting there just being rock solid. And I think that's great.
Well, and I commend it also. There was a moment last season, and I know we're talking about this season, and it was actually the time I went home. So maybe I was erroneous that day, but there was a moment and it wasn't actually shown, and it was between Connor and myself where I was basically saying, look, I think we consider voting out Kate and, you know, we keep me, you, Christy. And he was saying, no, I think we vote out Christy and we keep me, you, Kate. And I'm like, yeah, but then you've got Kate. And then he's like, yeah, but then you've got Christy. And I'm like, well, look, you're going to have to trust me. He's like, no, you're going to have to trust me. And it was kind of like this back and forth. And, you know, little did I know that he was going to go dibber-dobbering to Kate, but at that time, but damn. But the point is that we were both in this situation where it was like nobody was budging at all. And I was like, you know, okay, I guess we'll vote out Christy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was clearly the wrong decision at that time. But, you know, Sarah, she could have been, you know, in the same situation if she had a folded and then it ended up
being
counting
her.
Against her.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's a good point. Yeah. The not budging thing I think is really, really interesting. Like I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by having now played Survivor, people that are willing to go out there and go, nope, this is what's happening. Because I never did that. I was always very, seemingly very flexible. You know, like, yeah, in my mind, I was like, I don't want to do that, but always seemingly very flexible. And I appreciate people that are willing to kind of stick by their guns like that.
Yes, I completely agree and relate exactly to what you're saying. And that's my whole point. I feel like that if there was a moment to stand ground, it was that moment. And I was like, no, I didn't want to go to Rocks. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, Rashi has stood her ground and actually, you're right. It is alluring and it's benefited her, I think, as well.
One of the other things that you mentioned was that Luke doesn't tell Jericho the plan, and this is so fascinating to me. Luke doesn't tell Jericho the plan that he wants to vote out Sarah. So we're being seemingly, Jericho doesn't know. He's worried that Jericho will tell Sarah. And it was the first crack we saw in this Jericho-Luke alliance in 30 days. What did you think of that whole dynamic?
Well, I don't feel as though we've been privy to the Jericho-Sarah relationship. That's what my instinctive thoughts were, because surely all we've seen is Jericho's allegiance to Luke and also almost kind of subordinate role to Luke as well.
Yeah.
I've been getting the impression that Jericho will vote as directed by Luke. So that's obviously not the case with everybody. There are other relationships. So I think that it speaks to Sarah's relationship building and also to Jericho's.
Yeah.
So that's what it told me. And then also, of course, that decision and whether that was the right decision and could that potentially backfire on him. And it almost did, because Tara erupted and spilled all the beans and said, "You've told me this." And yeah, we still don't, there doesn't seem to have been any backlash from what I've seen. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I thought that was going to be the big storyline of the next episode, that it was going to be, you know, Tara has this information, and you saw that moment where she was on the beach and she was kind of rolling her eyes like, "Oh, I hate this." She knew what Jericho didn't. And it was the first time in the game that Tara has been in front in terms of she had the information that other people didn't. We always were sold this idea that she was five steps behind, AK's five steps ahead, blah, 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 blah. She had the information, and I wanted her to spill the beans. And I think she did the night after the tribal council, when they came back and they had that big blow up. But, you know, I loved Tara's confessional when she did the Jericho voice. She's like, no, it's Peter. That was so good. I loved Tara's Jericho voice. Like,
she really did embody that really well, didn't she? It was quite like
so good, so good.
It was good. But then the thing is, though, don't you think? And I mean, knowledge is power. Could she not have? I mean, like, kind of like what we see Michelle doing, getting this information, going out, you know, the information gathering, and then going, okay, how can I use this to my advantage? And then, you know, just planting some seeds, manipulating people by virtue of that information. She always expresses herself so emotionally that she almost, the power of the information is lost. Yes. Imagine had she have gone to Jericho the next day on the beach in the morning and kind of said, "Look, I need to talk to you about something."
Yep.
And then all of a sudden she, you know, puts a wedge between Luke and Jericho, which is a good wedge to put potentially.
Yep.
Potentially. And, but in turn, you know, gain some leverage with Jericho and some trust there because she's come to him.
Yeah, you're so right. Because she blows up with the information when she gets back from tribal. And it, that is like, nothing good can happen the night after a tribal council. This is like, do you know that saying like, nothing good happens after 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, bad decisions.
Like How I Met Your Mother. Actually, isn't it it's 2 a.m., right?
Right. I don't watch How I Met Your Mother, but I'll take the reference.
Oh, really? Oh, so it's an actual quote. I just thought it was from How I Met Your Mother.
It might be. I have no idea. That might be where it's come from, but I've heard that before. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Nothing good happens after tribal council. It's very true. Keep a freaking lid on
it. In both contexts.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true. Exactly. The person who's been voted out is crying at Ponderosa, and the people who are in the game are crying, but you have to cry on the inside. You have to sit there. I sat there after being absolutely roasted by Lee, Sam, and Kate the night before I went home, and I went back and had to snuggle right up to Lee and lay there pretending like everything was fine, even so inside I was dying. Like, you just have to keep a lid on it, and it's much more difficult than it's.
Yeah, I agree. I remember the same thing the night after Rowan got voted off and I'd received all the votes, and I was like, I really just wanted to go and sit by myself, and I was like, no, I can't. If you do anything, it just gives people scope to speak about you in a way that could never be advantageous to you again.
Yeah.
Because people are looking at something to talk about. You're looking for something. You're looking for, oh, their reaction. Oh, did you see that? Oh, they're upset. Like, you just don't want to put bring any limelight to yourself after tribal council, or any attention to what you did or how you played or how you voted or anything like that. You just kind of want to be like, oh, well, it's sad they left. Yeah. They were a great guy. They're a great girl. Damn. They're having a good pizza or burger or whatever, you know.
It's true.
I don't know.
It's true.
Do you remember when you got voted out, though? you said people who go home and they cry. When I got voted off, you know, you have your little debriefs and all that kind of thing. I remember someone saying to me, I think it might have been the psych, you know, you see a psych after you get first get voted off, just a quick chat. And he was like, you know, you might find you're not able to sleep and things like that. I was like, okay, that's all right. Hopefully that's not the case. I had never slept better
best sleep
in
my
life.
Best.
I was fine.
Literally the best sleep of my life.
So yeah, that was like, yeah, I was, because once he said that, it was almost like he was setting me up to fail. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get some, but like, I proved him wrong. I slept
everyone
real bit,
out there so. In podcast land, if you are an insomniac, if you cannot sleep, if you have trouble relaxing, go play Survivor and get voted out. You will be like, you will wake up more refreshed than you've ever woken up.
Than ever. And then you'll look in the mirror in the morning. You'll be like, look how skinny I am. Life is good.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I'm going to stay this way. Fast forward 5 days. Okay. Yeah. Maybe not.
That's funny. That's funny. There's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about from that episode as well. So, you know, so we've got this whole kind of Sarah-Luke thing. We've spoken about Sarah and Luke, but which side are you on with that? Which horse are you backing? And I'm going to make you choose. You have to choose,
no.
Phoebe. You have to choose. I'm sorry.
I don't want to choose.
Who do you
I mean,
want?
Okay.
Who out of the two would you want to win?
To win the game, I'm going to say Sarah.
Okay. And who do you think will go further?
I'm actually still going to say Sarah because of the number. Luke, the numbers are just not in Luke's favor come merge.
Yeah.
So I mean, the odds are against him. It's unfortunate, but it's true. I hope that he defies them, but we'll see.
Yeah.
The reason I say Sarah is because I find her to be a more rational player, and I like that in a player. But as a character, my heart, you know, it's Luke. He's so funny.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm backing the Sarah horse to go further in this race. I enjoy Luke as a character, but I enjoy Sarah much more as an actual player. But the funny thing with Luke, you said it there. Luke's stock is dropping. Like Luke's name is popping up on the other tribe, and this happened to AK, and AK was not long for this game. Do you think come merge? Do you think that Luke's in trouble?
I think he's in an overwhelming amount of trouble.
Okay, do you think we've got three episodes next week? Plant your flag. Is Luke making it to week? If next week's week eight, is Luke making it to week nine?
I desperately hope I'm wrong, but I would be very surprised if he does.
Yeah.
And if he does, he's an even better player than he gets credit for.
Great. That's it. That's the.
He should go home. He should go home.
Shouldn't he?
Do you agree?
For sure. That's great. In my power rankings, I've put him in the bottom. You know, I do the power rankings on Inside Survivor. This week, I'm putting him in the bottom three, I think it is. So, yeah, I'm not confident he can make it out the other side. And do you know why? I think the reason is Tara. I don't think if Tara's, you know, he's on this shrinking island of people that won't want to work with him. Even if he can get Michelle back from the other side, Tara, she says, he's scaring me. And we know that Tara does not like people that strategize too much. She gets over it, and she's the new AK. He's the new AK for Tara. So I can't see her sticking with him in the next few votes, especially if she can go back to Lockie and stuff like that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think even the existing relationships available to Luke, you know, you've got Michelle, if it's not in her best interest, and it's him or her, she may just take the approach of, I'll just continue to throw Luke under the bus as much as possible rather than get on board with him.
Yeah.
And also, Henry, I mean, we've already seen them not voting the same way in prior votes. Plus he voted out Jackie. So there's a severed, not severed, but I mean, I don't know that Henry would be, wanting to kind of mend bridges there too quickly when he's already been setting things up on Summer Tower in a different way.
Well, you mentioned Michelle. You mentioned Michelle. Can we talk about her for a second?
Sure.
So last week she did a great job in getting out Ben, and she kind of, you know, for some unknown reason they went with her over Ben, which I struggling to wrap my head around. But what I thought was interesting is that this week she says the week starts with her saying that, you know, she's going after Henry now and Henry's her next target. Do you think that's the right target for her? It doesn't matter now. They didn't go to tribal council for two episodes in a row, but in this, you know, in her mind, she doesn't know that. Do you think that that Henry was the right target?
Good question.
Because I just think that she's maybe biting off a little more than she can chew with Henry.
What are the alternatives, though? That my first thought were are there alternative options that would be better suited to her cause?
Good point. I don't think she can go for anyone in the remainder of AK's alliance. Those three people are off limits, I think. And so it's either Lockie, Annalise, or Henry. And, yeah, maybe Annalise. I think Annalise has kind of been voted out by her tribe. They don't like her. She could capitalize on that. I just think going after Henry is, you know, she needs to know.
It's a big fish.
It's a big fish. That's a big fish.
It's a big fish. I like it. I agree. Maybe Annalise is a go at that point.
Yeah.
What
are your thoughts?
What about Locke?
Sorry, go.
Okay, go, please. Nope. No, you go.
You go. Lockie, I think, is another one, but because he's been there for so long, I don't know. But what do you think of Michelle? Are you enjoying her game?
I enjoy her character. Her game. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've only besides the Ben vote, and then I guess she was pretty instrumental with the Kent vote, wasn't she? I mean, she was.
Yes.
Well, we just saw their feud, their conflict. I haven't thought about it. Is my honest opinion? I actually haven't really thought about it.
Apologies. Phoebe's not loving your games.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just that I haven't seen a lot besides the Ben vote, and I think she performed really well on that vote. So anything I have to say is pretty positive. But we still haven't got a lot of gameplay yet. And I got to say, that's why I'm saying I do love her character. So the things I have seen, I like.
Well, here's my prediction. I keep forcing you to make all these predictions. I'm going to make one.
Yeah, please do.
Michelle is in, and this is controversial. This is a hot take. Well, I think it's a hot take. Michelle is in the best position in the entire game right now.
That is definitely a controversial thing to say, and I would like you to elaborate, please.
Think about it. We're about to merge. We have a Sung aside, and we have the Summertown side. We have a few free electrons who have kind of bounced between the two, but none of them is more kind of loose than Michelle, because I don't think many people on the Asanga tribe have great love for her, and I don't think she's made enough inroads with the people on Summertown. I can't see the two tribes coming together to vote her out, but I think she finds herself right in that middle position where she can be the person who decides which side goes where. Thoughts?
I like it, and I think it's a good analogy. And also I think, you know, she's been fortunate that she was swapped onto, yes, the bottom, but the bottom of a winning tribe. I mean, like.
Who's coming after Michelle now? Who's coming after Michelle? With all these big fish to fry, who's coming after
nobody.
Michelle?
Nobody. There's fish, a few people like.
That's a small fish.
So many. She's a small fish in our big pond. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a few people that you could make a case for like that. I'm saying like there's a few small fish. Like I also think there'll be some first time player mistakes. So for example, why would you come after someone like Tara at this point?
In my power rankings, Tara, I think I put one or two. She's in the one or
she's
two.
She's high. Exactly.
Tara's not going anywhere. Tara's here. The people who aren't Tara fans, you're going to have to suck that up, because I have a feeling Tara's going to be around. She's making the top six. No question in my mind now. Now that she's made the merge, she's top six.
Me too, because it's all about perception. She's definitely not a perceived threat from what I've seen. She's really transparent and easy to read. You kind of know where she's where she's at all the time because she expresses herself emotionally. So there's no, you don't have to, she doesn't come across like a game player because you don't need to, you're not guessing about what she's thinking or feeling or where she's going to go. She wears it all over her body language.
And so, I think the people, I think she's not as bad as I have made her out to be as well, but I can see them reaching a point where they view her as the goat to take to the end to beat.
Yeah, I don't see how she can win. And because of that, she'll be in the game for a long time. And that's what I mean. If it's actually not about how you're perceiving everybody else. It's how they're perceiving you. Totally. And if you think about Tara, I don't think that anyone's perceiving her as a threat. Therefore, there isn't great cause or reason to vote her off. So she'll be there a long time. Same case for Michelle. And there's a few others that I think are small fish. So this is the problem for people like yourself, Nick, or even myself. You have to be a small fish to win a 55-day season. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully at least a medium fish wins the game.
Medium fish.
But, you know, to go deep, you know, be a small fish, right? Yeah.
Well, that's
but not so small that you've got no case.
Well, this is a really interesting point you bring up, and it perfectly lets us transition into the next episode, because before episode 15, I am sure that you and I would have put Odette in the tiniest of fish categories, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Who gets voted out in that all-important spot just before the merge, the Phoebe Timmons spot, you know, this, you know, we're about to merge.
Don't say it again.
Have you noticed how many times I've brought it up, Phoebe?
I know, you're like, you got voted off.
I reckon I'm on mention number
early,
three.
I'm
on mention number three. I reckon I've got another four in me. So just kind of strap yourself in.
I'll start tallying them. Don't worry. I didn't need my self-esteem anyway. Fine.
Great. I just realized this whole podcast has essentially just been berating you since the first 40 seconds.
All right. Luckily, I have a thick skin.
Yeah.
skin. Do you know what? I've got a really weird tangent to go on. Can we do it?
Go for it.
So it's about skin, and I just said the word skin, so I need to talk about it.
Okay.
So the other day, I don't actually remember the context of the conversation, but I was with two friends who are Survivor fans, so maybe they'll listen to this and laugh. And we were talking about a shark. Oh, yeah, a friend went diving with a whale shark. And he was saying, and, you know, it had spotty skin. And then we got into a conversation about, does the shark have skin? Is that what it is? And then we were supposed to Google it, and no one has told me whether or not a shark has skin. And I just don't know the answer. Is it skin? Like, what is it? It's not fur. It's not feathers. So it's got to be skin, right?
Scales? Is it scales?
I don't know. I don't think it's scales.
Phoebe,
but it feels weird to say shark skin.
You're the big fish here. You should know. You should know what there is.
I don't know. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Can people please?
If anyone knows whether shark has skin, please tweet sharks do have skin or sharks do not have skin. Thank you.
Please tweet at what is your
and any, I think it's Phoebe_Timmons. And also any supporting evidence supporting either side. I like things to be proven with facts. Thank you.
Well, okay. Well, there you go. The big fish has spoken. let's get back to what we're talking about. We're talking about the tiny fish, Odette, the tiny fish, right? She is the one who ends up going home in episode 15. And we get this huge montage of like Odette saying, you know, I'm in the voting, I just vote with the majority. I'm not out there. I float along, blah, blah, blah. And I got to tell you, Phoebe, I was getting Christy 2.0 vibes.
Right, of course.
And she ends up going home in this really kind of strange yet awesome scenario. And look, Odette's great. I'm sure she's great. She's beautiful. And I'm sure she's like super lovely in real life, but we didn't get enough to see her on the show. And when the option is it either Luke or Sarah, and we end up getting Odette go home, that is like a gift from the Survivor gods that Odette's out. Someone's not just going to drift to the end, and essentially we could get Luke and Sarah on the jury for the rest of the game. Like, It was so brilliant, and I was so, so happy. No offense, Odette. I'm sure you're great, but that was just, I think, perfect. But do you know who screwed?
I mean, it's definitely offensive if she's listening. Sorry, Odette.
It is. I understand
it's
that.
It's definitely offensive.
I understand.
But yes, I agree. It is definitely a very, very exciting prospect to have Luke and Sarah in the merge. I can't wait to see that transpire. And because they've given us so much gameplay, so it's nice to see that we're going to have a merge full of people who are playing this game hard. That's really exciting.
Exactly right. And do you know, Sarah, I believe, was the architect behind Odette's demise. But do you know who really screwed Odette?
Who?
Christy Bennett.
Well, there you go, Odette.
And this is nothing. I think I voted for Christy to win, and we're not going to get into that debate and everything. But I think that people were scared of someone who they perceived to be doing nothing. They didn't know whether she was doing nothing. We don't know the full story. Again, we don't know the same thing about Christy, you know, too much. But the idea here is that they didn't want someone who they thought would be that free electron floating around, bounce between the two, and before you know it, they're a viable contender to the end. And I think that that has the Christy Bennett fingerprints all over it. And I think that that means that people were just scared of that happening again. And that's why I love this game, because even when you are the tiny, tiny fish, that makes you a big, big fish.
Well, I think for really savvy players, it does. I still think we're going to end up with small fish at the end because the merge will go crazy. But I like that people are thinking, forwardly, and they're considering the fact that actually this person may be someone who we can't count on because they're always going to go with the majority. And clearly going into the merge on the wrong side of the numbers means that we're going to lose her straight away. So let's stick together. I think that makes complete sense.
Do you know what
she's already said? Her whole game, her whole game is playing on the side of the majority. So the majority is not with the Asanga tribe.
Do you know what it reminded me of? You know, way back season 8, Survivor All-Stars, you get this awesome tribe. There's Richard Hatch, Lex and Colby and, you know, all these people. And what do? They eat each other alive and we're left with Shein. You know, we're left with these people that we don't really love. I like Shein, but like I wanted to see the Avengers come together. And in this instance, I love that Sarah and Luke got themselves back on the same page and eventually Odette went home. Loved it. Thought it was great.
I like it too. I love it too. And it's an interesting thing as well because, you know, one thing I would say, maybe I shouldn't say that.
You have to say it now. I'm sorry, Phoebe. Yeah. There's no way that the listeners are going to let you get away. They will troll you on Twitter until you tell us what you were going to say.
I don't need to be trolled. I'm real busy at the moment. And I already have – I just had Raisin Toast for dinner, okay? Life's already bad. I'm just kidding. Not about the Raisin Toast.
Tell us.
And so what I was going to say was I think it was more conscious from an intentional from Odette to play that that side of things.
Okay.
And I say that having played very closely with Christy, I don't think that she played intentionally. In fact, I know she didn't because I played with her. So I think that's the difference. And I think it's an effective strategy. But I don't know. There's something, I guess, she was less, I don't think she seems airy fairy. So it actually is more threatening is my point.
I'll counter that. So Sarah says she's very smart in everyday life, but she doesn't get Survivor. I can't reason with a player like that. And Odette goes and lies down before tribal council and just kind of removes herself from the situation. And she even says, she even uses these words, I'm going to flip a coin. I'm going to flip a coin.
Yeah.
Last year we had to deal with Barry's hat, you know, Barry's magical voting hat. Now we've got Odette's coin. These are items that we don't need in the Survivor Sucks Hall of Fame, like the shitty Survivor Hall of Fame items, the museum of lost souls.
Lost souls, really? I like it. Yeah, okay, yes, I agree. We don't need a coin and we don't need a hat. Well, actually, you probably, it would be good to have a hat out there. I kind of wish I had one now. Not to draw names out of, though.
No, okay, just to wear, just to wear.
No. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think with, I think the main thing is that you've got, the best strategy in Survivor, I mean, it depends on the game, obviously, but it is relationship building and it is the social dynamic. So if Odette was playing that way, but harnessing and nurturing and molding her relationships in such a way that, you know, she was voting just with the majority and so forth, but still engaging with people and still making them feel comfortable and making them feel safe and not making herself be perceived as someone who couldn't be counted upon or flippity-floppity, then it's a great strategy. But you have to have both. You can't just be like, I'm just voting with the majority. Yes. You need to be like still, with the people who are on the bottom, making them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And actually, that's something that Christy did really well.
Yes. Well, there you go. Yeah. Good. There's one other thing before we've got some questions. We've got a great game for you by Shannon Gage. All these things. There's one more thing that I want to talk about from the episode, and that was the twist that they put in with the reward challenge. So they have this pasta reward where they're going to eat all this great Italian feast, and Summertale wins, and they get to pick one person and then another person to go over. What did you think of that whole dynamic? So that obviously they choose Pete, which is a nice big red flag that he's going to take the mutiny the next episode, but they also choose Sarah. What did you think of that whole conversation, that whole scenario? Who would you have taken? If you're Sarah, do you actually want to go on that challenge? You know, because it seemed to have really, really riled up Luke.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think there's any surprises that riles up Luke. If anyone but Luke gets chosen, it would have, I think, upset him. What do you think?
Yeah, good point. Good point. I guess you're not really an authority on this, Phoebe, because you didn't win a reward. So okay.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
And look, there it is. That's number five.
That's number five. Okay. Take it.
It's okay, guys. Eating is for at home anyway.
Raisin toast is for...
Without butter.
Yeah. Sorry. You were saying.
The reason I had raisin toast for dinner is because I've been on the phone the entire evening. It's not because I don't have groceries. So I'm making it sound like my life's bad, but it's pretty good, actually.
It's no Sorry. Pasta from the reward, though. So
it's not. It's definitely not. And I'm also eating a mandarin at the moment.
Well, there you go. Phoebe, we have so many viewer questions, which I want to get to. So are you ready to go?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Alice B says, who are you most surprised to see at the merge? And who are you least surprised to see? So who's someone that you think would, from the beginning of the season, would have been there no matter what?
I don't think that about anybody. I just don't think like that.
I'm saying Henry. I just think that he was just had the whole package, and yes, he might not go far from now onwards, but I think there was no doubt he was getting to the merge. So he's my vote for someone who I'm least surprised.
I just feel like it's really hard before you've seen anyone even speak, you know, to gauge how they will play or their likeliness of making the merge based on a player profile. That it's all about the personality and the social interactions.
Let's say after week one. So after a couple of episodes, you know, who would you say you're most surprised to see at the merge?
Probably Tara.
Okay. Well, she got voted out, so yeah, that's a good one.
That's fair. And also, like, you know, I don't think she's a challenge asset, for example, either. So there's other reasons why in that tribal stage of the game.
Yeah.
Who else?
I'd say someone that I'm most surprised. So someone who I thought would be there. I thought Mark. Of Sam and Mark.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be there. That was someone but other than that.
I would have liked to have seen AK there, but I'm not surprised he's not, but I would have loved to have seen him there. I think that would have been quite fun.
Well, that leads us to the next question. Edmo wants to say, people have been comparing AK to you. Is this an apt comparison?
I think that the comparison is that he was, I guess, a big player. I mean, I guess I was a pretty big player as well. And he went out before the merge in unfortunate circumstances.
You said that one. I didn't say that one. You said that. We're now on.
Okay, number six. See, it's gotten so bad that I'm actually like so down on myself that I'm now batting myself out.
Michael Butler wants to know if Summertower went to Tribal instead, who would have mutinied or should have mutinied?
Can you answer some of these questions as well, please?
Well, it's got to be Michelle, right?
Yes, I think. Oh, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's got to be Michelle.
I could also see Lockie.
Maybe Henry flipping back, just going, it's ooh, right before merge. I
that
could
would
see
have
him
been
kind
good.
Of going, oh, I just want to reconnect quickly. But then how would that present to Summertow?
That would be actually pretty epic for him to flip and then flop and then back again. That was pretty cool.
I would have liked to. I wonder if he would have done it.
Kelly Priest wants to know, do you see the merge being the core Summertower group versus the Henry Annalise group? And how would you see that playing out? Because we've got this Henry, Lockie, Annalise.
Yes.
They might pick up Tara again. Do you see that
and
going
pick
against
up with Sarah?
Yes,
Annalise
with
and Sarah,
Sarah
are close.
Yep.
And,
do you see that going against the Tara? Sorry, against the Tessa, Ziggy, Jared, Pete collective?
Well, and it's so interesting. It'll be so, so interesting to see where the Summertower core goes because we've got all of these dynamics now. I don't know necessarily how it will unfold. Like you could also imagine the original Summertower that you just pointed out. So the whole, who did you say? You said Sarah,
original
Tara,
Summertower.
Henry, no, you said Sarah, Tara, Henry. Who else did you say?
Annalise, Lockie.
Yeah, you could almost imagine Pete jumping on board that train as well because he's quite close with Sarah.
I could see.
And then taking out potentially your the other Summertowers, your Tessas and who else is in this that side?
Yeah, Jared, Ziggy, yeah.
Yeah, those. You can see them being taken out by that core, for example.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
That's a really good question. I can't answer it, obviously, but I love that question and I've been wondering the same and I hope I hope it's exciting because there's so many avenues where it could go in terms of where that core alliance actually sits. And I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of changes a little bit because we've had so many swaps. You know, and most people have interacted with each other on some level now. It'll be interesting to see. Maybe it's going to be this fluid thing. Who knows?
The merge changes everything. The merge, like, completely changes everything. And I know that, you know, the merge last year, there was a bit of a stasis for a little bit, but it changes it wasn't fun, to be honest. Like, the fun stopped at the merge and things got really personal and serious. And I know that, you know, we were winning beforehand. So maybe that's why it was different for me that we went on a winning streak into the.
Is that number seven?
No, that wasn't one. That wasn't one.
Is that number seven?
Okay, I sure. But what I'm saying is it changes everything and everyone views like everyone starts to kind of go, all right, now I can start playing. You thought I was playing before. Like now I'm going to like be it ramp it up to my intensity and my focus because now it's like, wow, I've made a milestone. I'm now my next milestone is to win. You know, like before that, there's so many steps you need to get through, especially in Australian Survivor. And I just think that shit is going to get real. And I am so excited.
Well, me too. But then I think, are we done with twists? Like, is that the thing? So if we are, and if that's the case, I'm sure that it won't be too extreme with non-eliminations and all that kind of thing anymore because you've had a few.
Yeah.
Even if you consider it to say the status quo and it's just an organic formula for the rest of the show, we have three idols to be played.
A super
which
idol.
Which is awesome. Yeah, and one of them is a super idol.
No,
so
no,
that's really exciting.
We've got three idols and a super idol.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm imagining one of the idols will coincide with a super idol play if it's played.
Yeah. I think that's coming sooner. I think that's coming sooner rather than later. And I think that.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And I think that that's going to be like Ziggy using that on, like, you know, she won't use it on Henry. I think she'll be using that on Annalise, and that'll spell the end of Annalise's game. I can see it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Do you think that, can you clarify for me? Is Ziggy with her idol, so the half of the idol, which is just the idol, is that to be played as an ordinary idol?
Yep, definitely. She's just got and one that can cancel an idol and one that is just a regular generic idol, the same as Annalise's and the same as Henrik's.
Okay, cool. So she needs to play that before votes and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
Right. So if that's the case, but she doesn't have to play them simultaneously.
No,
she can
doesn't.
Play them one moment. That's so powerful.
Ryan wants to know, Ryan Vanderbrink, our good friend, says, if Phoebe could steal anyone's idol this season, Henry, Annalise, or Ziggy, who would it be and why? And we know you love stealing an idol from someone.
Who asked that question?
Ryan Vanderbrink. Ryan Brink.
Never heard of him. Who is he?
Never heard
Just
of
kidding.
Him before.
I think he's in Melbourne next week. I hope you're coming, Ryan. I need to know if you're staying with me. I think I'm stealing Ziggy's super idol.
Okay.
Of course I'm stealing the super idol. I don't like that twist or that idol for lots of reasons, but I definitely want it. Ziggy, I'm happy. Don't you?
If I can take one, I'm taking Henry's regular idol.
Why?
Because I think a regular idol is more useful than the stealing idol, even though it could potentially get cancelled by that idol. I think that
just cancel it and have the idol as well.
I think that if you're going to take anything, you wouldn't take just the idol cancelled. You'd take one of the regular idols because, you know, hopefully the person with the cancel gets voted out before it needs to be used. And because, you know, an idol cancel, if you've realized all the votes are coming your way, and you've only got the idol cancel in your pocket, that does nothing. That does nothing. Unless you lie about its power, that's not going to save you that night. A regular idol will. So I want a regular idol.
Yeah, but you have a regular idol with the super idol. You get both.
I think Ryan's question was implying them as four pieces, but who knows? If it is, then you definitely.
If they're four pieces, yeah. Then you just want, yeah, you absolutely want the regular idol.
If they come together, you want Ziggy's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But then with the cancel, you know, you're not necessarily canceling an idol if you're the person going home. You could be canceling it to save someone your alliance as well.
Yeah, I'd rather save myself.
I'd rather save myself too, but
yeah,
I would find it more exciting if it was played to say save someone in an alliance.
Or, yes.
Because I think that would indicate that there's more strategic thinking going on rather than, oh, I need to save myself. Like
yes.
It would be like, well, I need to keep this person in the game because that benefits my game. I just think it would be a bit of a
Jeremy saving Steven in Second Chance.
So, right.
While we're on Survivor history, Daniel Sands wrote in and said, Luke and Sarah declare war in one episode and then put aside their feud and unify to send a mutual threat home. It seems unprecedented to me. Can you think of other times in Survivor history when that has happened? I think it's indicative of them being both big picture players. Now, I don't know if you've got any suggestions here, but I thought about this and I got my intern Shannon Gates on the case. Do you have any suggestions of where you think that's happened before in Survivor history?
Just having a think.
It's a tricky one. It took me a while to figure it out. So putting you on the spot, it's a tricky one.
Definitely putting me on the spot. So two opposing forces coming together to mutually benefit each other.
I feel like
I'm sure it's happened many times, but it's not that something intuitive comes to mind.
I think there's a couple of examples. I think Rob Cestanino, himself coming together with Jenna and voting out Christy in the Amazon. That was, you know, two opposing forces. That was another one. Sandra and Fairplay coming together to vote out Tawana. That was another one. But I think the most recent one is in Game Changers, we saw Ty and Sari and Aubrey get together after voting for each other. And they tried to vote out Sarah. Didn't work, but they definitely kind of put aside their differences. So it's not unprecedented, but I think what that shows us is, you know, we got Sandra, Rob, Sari, Aubrey. These are like, that's an elite club of players. And to put Sarah and Luke in that club, that speaks really highly of them as Survivor players.
Yeah, it does. I agree with that. It's quality, definitely, because it shows that they are motivated by what is best for them yes. as game players. They're not blinded by,
That's what you want, someone that you can predict is going to play in their best interest. This is why yes. Tara and Odette, these aren't people that you want to play with. This is why Sam Webb is not someone you want to play with.
It's, yeah. Hang on, sorry.
Hey, look, I might have had 7 digs at you this podcast, but poor Sam gets a dig every single time I record. I get one away. I just get a nice little zip right in there. And if anyone's out there keeping track, I reckon I'm up to like 50. So you're doing fine at 7, Phoebe.
I like it because these are digs to my face. I can handle that. I haven't listened to every podcast, but I haven't recognized any.
No.
In the ones that I have listened to, so I'll take these ones. These okay. are fine. This okay. is fine. Don't try and slide them in there next week or something though, because I'm gonna like tune in.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming. one of the posts that I put up in the Patreon group was a photo of you and I playing Hanabi. I think that's how you say it. Hanabi.
Oh, it's Hanabi. Hanabi. I don't know, I play that all the time, yeah.
That was the post where I called for questions and people asked, Hanabi is a great card game. This is from Ben King.
Do you remember us playing Hanabi?
And people asked about Hanabi and I said, well, have I got a story for you? So, Phoebe, would you like to tell the listeners about the game that you and I played with two other Survivor greats?
Well, we played Hanabi with two winners of Survivor, both people very close to our hearts. We love them both very much. And one of them was Christy Bennett and one of them was Adam Klein. And we wiped the floor with them, basically. And look, okay, we may or may not have made revelations about certain cards when you're not supposed to do it behind their backs. And, you know, some may call it cheating, okay, But look, it was undetected and we won and we haven't told them.
And, and if they're listening now, we apologize. But
I don't apologize. We beat you. Ha ha.
But I think it's great that two Survivor losers beat two Survivor winners by lying to their faces. And I think that just, Phoebe, I think that means that by default, you won Australian Survivor. I won Millennials Gen X because we were able to outwit and outplay two Survivor greats.
I agree. And the thing is that they – like, why were they taking it so seriously? It was a game of cards and we'd had all these drinks and they were both being sticklers for the rules.
If anyone out there, you know, thinks, oh, Adam's a great guy. No, play a card game with him. He was getting so angry.
It was aggressive. It was intense.
It was great. But we won, and that's all that matters. Yeah.
I played that with him in America when we were there recently, and the same thing happened. And it was really – because I was playing, like, with him, and it was really frustrating because I like to observe people's reactions and things, you know, to just kind of identify whether or not I'm onto something. And every time I'd watch him, like, you know, pick a card or play a card or whatever, or I'd ask a question for a clue, I'd observe him and be like, you're not allowed to look at me like that, and then he would have a go at me. Because apparently that's cheating. And it's like, well, actually I'm observing any indication that I'm onto something. And apparently that's a no-go, but I disagree.
I think he's just jealous that you're the winner of Millennial Gen X and he can't cope with that.
I think so too.
Phoebe, we've got two more things we need to do. And one of them is give out the DQ award. Now, you know, you said you've been listening to the podcast. You've been charting the DQ award, which is the Des Quilty. This is the award for the best confessional of the episode. And I need you, I'm going to read you out a few suggestions and you're going to award the DQ this week. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. I love the DQ award.
This is the thing that we uncovered last week, is that the DQ award has been cursed.
Oh, no.
That every person who wins goes out the week after. Jackie, Kent, AK, every week that person goes home. The curse has been broken because Luke won and was supposed to go and he didn't. So the curse is broken. So you can pick, knowing that you are not condemning this person to failure.
Good. I don't want to curse anybody. I want everybody to do well.
Okay.
Well, truly, I truly do. I love everyone. I want them all to do well. Please. This is whoever I pick. I am not cursing you. It is because I genuinely loved your confessional.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Luke, first of all, says when he's talking about how Sarah wants to play with everyone. He says she always wants to work with whoever comes in. Santa Claus could come in and she would want to work with Sarah.
Yes.
Okay, that's the first one. The second one is also from Luke, but it can't really be counted because it wasn't a confessional. But Shannon Gates, who coordinates the DQ award with me, had we both loved this quote. Luke says, whilst in the middle of the fight with each other, he says, I was told that you'd been gunning for me since before the pasta. It's just, it's one of the most ridiculous lines and I love it. I love it. You were gunning for me before the pasta. Oh, that is so funny. So that one gets
Luke's my favorite. I love him. I actually am such, I couldn't be a bigger Luke fan. He's volatile, but I just love him.
Okay, well, there's one other person who can potentially challenge Luke for the best confessional, and we're breaking the rules here because this is none other than our lovely host, Jonathan LaPaglia. And I know this isn't in the rules, but it was a particularly weird, saucy parting line in the end of episode 15. He says, I guess we'll find out soon if this is a marriage made to last or a one-night stand.
I like it.
Phoebe, who is the winner of the DQ award this week? Is it Luke for his Santa Claus comment or his pasta comment, and or is it JLP for his weird, saucy ending comment for a weird week?
I am, because, and I know I already said I'm not cursing this person, but just to be extra, extra cautious, I'm giving it to JLP.
Whoa.
Just in case. Just in case, and only because I really love Luke and I can't bear the thought of being responsible for his departure.
This is very funny because I think...
I'm limiting my liabilities.
I think you're trying to curse Jonathan because he spilled the beans about you having an idol to Brooke.
You're on to me. Damn it.
Don't think we don't know. The listeners out there were thinking the exact same thing.
No. Oh, man. Do you ever even think about our season? I don't even care. Do you care about it?
It comes to mind while I'm watching season two, I got to say. Like it comes,
does it?
Yeah, it comes up. And the questions that come in and it pops up. So.
Yeah, does it?
You can be excused for thinking about it in this kind of context. But in my everyday life, no, it does not come up.
Yeah, nor me. And even when even when I'm watching Survivor, I'm just like in fan mode, except when I only feel triggered and I only feel like, I guess, emotional.
When you see people who don't make the merge, is that when you get triggered?
No, I only feel triggered when there's non-elimination episodes.
Oh, sorry.
As a fan, and you are in so much trouble. That's like seven. We agreed on how many did we agree on?
It's actually eight. I've been keeping count.
I swear we agreed on five. You've absolutely crossed the line.
All right, Phoebe, there's one more thing we have to do. Ready? One more thing.
Yeah.
And it is a game. We have a new game for you this week. This game is called Casual Corner. Now, I know that we've got our...
That sounds dirty.
No. We've got our good friend Andy Torrens, who is out there making his What Shit Casual Say videos, which are great, by the way. This is actually not stolen from that. This is a game that Rob, our good friend Rob, has been playing on the podcast for a couple of seasons now, where he will have people go... He will go to the official Survivor Facebook page for the biggest casual fans. He will try and find the best comments from casuals and he will read out two, and then the guest will have to guess which one got more likes. Okay.
Oh, okay. So that's fun.
We've got five pairs here. It's best out of five.
Okay.
Shannon has gone to the Australian Survivor Facebook page, the home of the casual viewer. And yeah. we have a few casual phrases here for you that we want you to guess. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. The first one's not really common, but on the Survivor Facebook page, there was a video competition where you could vote for Sarah, who you wanted to win, Sarah versus in the battle between Sarah versus Luke. I don't know. Did you see this online?
No, I haven't. I have barely been on social. I don't have very much time.
Who do you think got more likes? Was it Luke or Sarah?
Tough call. I mean, who got more likes? Oh, wait, where was the video?
This is all from the official Australian Survivor Facebook page.
Okay, I want to say Luke.
Ding, 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 ding. He had 2,430 likes where Sarah only had 930.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so
that's casual. Yeah,
You're one in. Okay, number two. This is about the twist. Someone says, and no one goes, what a waste of an episode. Let's just change the rules so dumb Luke can stay even longer. That's one. That's one. And another one says, do the bombs ever stop? 3 question marks. This season is amazing. 2 exclamation marks. Phoebe, which one got more likes?
I will say the latter of the two.
Incorrect. The first one got 101 likes and the second one only got 32.
See, I said the second because I just thought no one could possibly support the first because they said dumb Luke. Who would like that?
Hey, casuals don't like people who play the game. All right.
What is wrong with them?
Number three.
Nobody calls Luke dumb. No, don't do that.
Number three. These are the food-related comments, and I love how Shannon has grouped them for us, which is great. Thank you, Shannon. The first one, I hate how many times they say the word feast.
Okay.
Why would you comment that? I have. Okay, that's one. That's one of them. You ready for the next one?
There's nothing really offensive about the word feast. In fact, quite the opposite. Yeah. I like the word feast.
Yeah, well.
And also just the meaning of the word feast.
This person's never played Survivor Clue. Okay, the next one. The next one. To all those complaining about spoilers, if you garlicking for trouble, you'll find it. Stop whining and spaghet over it. I
like it.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I have to say the second because that's kind of funny.
You are correct. An unfathomable nine people clicked like on that one and only
nine.
One. And only one on the first. You were one of those nine, clearly.
You probably should hover over it and check because I did physically LOL at that.
Next one. All right. So you got two. You got two so far. You need one more and you're going to win. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
What do you mean I've only got two? I swear I've got more than that.
You got two out of three. You got one of them wrong and two of them right.
Okay, I thought you said best of five.
Best out of five. Best out of five.
Okay,
So you need three. Okay, next one.
All right.
These are just random comments. Didn't think they had any toiletries, so why does Luke's face look so clean around his little bit of facial hair? Okay.
Okay.
Next one. Who else had to look up the word mutiny?
I think the one that got more likes would have been surely who else had to look up the word mutiny.
Congratulations, you win. 109 people had to look up the definition of the word mutiny.
Either that or they were laughing at the person that had to look up the word mutiny.
Only 7 people liked the first one. If 109 people don't know what the word mutiny means, then we are in real trouble as a society.
I agree. But don't you think that it is like worthy, considering it is a funny thing to post?
Yeah.
Because it is so ridiculous that you wouldn't know what that means.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, you won, but would you like to hear the last one anyway?
Yes, of course.
Okay. This is a pro slash the lot about Luke this week. Pro or anti-Luke. Ready? Okay, so the first one. Ugh, he's getting on my nerves now. True colors are showing. Remember, this is the same guy who said if he won the money, would go to Pokies. 2 exclamation marks at the end. Okay, that's the first one.
Important. I need to know the grammar.
Okay. The next one. Pro or anti, I really came to dislike Luke tonight when he was reckless, ripping out whole plants, looking for an idol. I know they need to look, but he was just being destructive. There is no need for that. He's become far too arrogant now.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, wait. Before you answer, uh-oh. I have a special bonus option.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
The official Australian Survivor Facebook page responded to that comment. And the Australian Survivor Facebook page is run by a fantastic man called Edwin Smith, and he is an absolute legend. Follow him.
I agree. And we love you, Edwin.
And Ed posted a meme from The Simpsons of Helen Lovejoy, who usually says, "Won't someone please think of the children?" And instead wrote, "Won't someone please think of the plants?" Now,
I love Edwin.
Which got more comments? Which got more likes? The putting it on the Pokies, the destructive tree hugger, the tree hugger who hates him for being reckless and ripping out plants, or Edwin's comment?
It has to be Edwin's comment. Please.
Ding, 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 woo! Ding, ding. 143 people. 143 people think Edwin is a legend, just like we do.
Oh, and he deserves it. That is so funny.
The most damning part.
What
of
was
this,
my score? 4 out of 5.
You got 4 out of 5. You got 4 out of 5. Well done. You are the winner.
Which one did I get wrong?
You got the. Do the bombs ever stop? This is amazing.
Oh, I'm upset about that. If we were in high school right now, do you know if I ever got 99 on a test, I would then go up to my teachers at the end of the class and then basically grill into them until they change my mark to 100.
Okay, you didn't get 99. Let's be real. You got 4 out of 5. So what's that? You got
that's 80%.
Okay,
that's definitely way below standard. I don't like that.
Before we move on, I just need to let everyone
know. Let's do it again.
That 69 people liked the comment about ripping out the plants, which is just who are these 69? Ugh. Anyway, that brings us to the end of Casual Corner. So there's only one more thing we need to do, and it is very quick. Player of the week, who are you giving it to? The Danzy. I've forgotten to give it out the last couple of weeks, but we're doing it this week. Who do you want to give it to?
I don't think we can argue with Sarah.
Exactly what I was going to say. Congratulations, Sarah. You win the Danzy this week.
Sarah, legendary. Love it. Keep it up. Yes.
Phoebe, that brings us to the end.
Oh, I'm so sad. Can we keep talking?
If we keep talking, I will probably just keep digging into you for not making the merge. So I think it's best that we wrap this up. We need a hashtag. And I've got a few options here. Do you have any?
No. Should I?
What about big fish?
I like it.
We've got
more like, can we please? No, I won't do it to you. Don't worry about it.
What are you going to say now?
Shark skin or no?
Well, it's funny you say that because I've got some other options here. One of them is hashtag shark skin. The other one is hashtag museum of lost souls. And the other one was hashtag nothing good after 2 a.m.
Oh, my God, I like all of them.
So which one would you like to go with, Phoebe?
I'm going to go with shark skin.
Okay, very good. Ding, ding, ding.
What was the first? It was shark skin, right? What was the first option that you suggested?
It's a big fish.
That's a good one too. But I think shark skin captures both because a shark is a big fish. So I think we're like covering all bases there.
Raisin toast. Shark skin. Raisin toast was another one I was toying with.
I spoke about raisin toast so much on the podcast, guys.
Guys, this is why people tune into the Know It Alls. They want in-depth analysis. They want great insights into the game. And they want to hear about your bread choices.
I also had a cheese and bacon roll for lunch.
All right. I think we've had enough.
I have to stop eating bread. It's got to stop. I'll stop now. From tomorrow, no bread ever again.
Well, Phoebe, thank you for sitting through me picking on you for an hour and 30 minutes or so.
Thank you for having me. It's been very fun to chat Survivor with you again.
I hope that you will come back and let me get the score from 8 barbs up to, you know, hit the double digits.
I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep until we do make these rectifications on that score.
If you can't sleep, just go on Survivor and get voted out. You have the best sleep ever.
Oh, and here we go. No, thank you. But, yeah, it's been great to chat Survivor.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see what happens going forward. It's going to be good.
Excellent. Well, Phoebe, where can people find you? You said it before, they can find you on Twitter.
Yep, Phoebe underscore Timmons. And otherwise, I'm sure people know. If they're listening to this podcast, they know how to find me. I probably chat to everybody anyway.
And Instagram story, if you were watching Phoebe's Instagram story, you would have seen her flood her house the other day. So that's all that stuff and more on her Instagram. So follow me on Instagram. I'm at Nick Iodanza, same as on Twitter. So let me know.
I love that. Watch how you can see Phoebe fail at life. Just like she failed at Survivor.
Yes, we got to nine, yes. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Take care, and we'll be back next week with another awesome guest to discuss another awesome merge week. Actually, I can tell you who's coming on next week. It is the great Mike Bloom, who is coming on to chat with us about the merge episodes of Survivor. So very excited about that. Everyone, thank you so much, Phoebe. Take care, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay, see you later, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.